Welcome to the Claudio Relsano Show on claudiorelsano.com, brought to you by Aspire Pediatric Therapy and Roscoe Hearing and Allergy Care Center. Claudio will be speaking to sports legends from the 70s, 80s, and 90s about their careers, business, and what they're doing now. He will also hold roundtable discussions with some old friends about trending topics in the world of sports. And now, here's Claudio.
Hello, everyone, and thank you so much for tuning in to the Claudio Relsano Show, brought to you by Roscoe Hearing and Allergy Care Center, Aspire Pediatric Therapy. As always, I want to thank Rick Mitchell for the introductions and my fantastic producer, who I could not do the show without, Adam Zalouf. Today's guest is a sport and performance psychology coach, Dr. Jason Novetsky. Jason has a PhD in education, a master's in school and clinical psychology, and a bachelor's degree in psychology. He worked as a school psychologist for 25 years, a sports and performance psychology coach for 8 years, travel and high school baseball coach, and he's also a all-conference Division I pitcher at the University of Detroit. And if you go to his website, championmindset.com, you'll see great form. He's a lefty pitcher. You see great form with him there. But, Doctor, thank you so much for being on the show.
My pleasure, Claudio. Great to talk to you again.
All right. And I appreciate you having me on your show a couple weeks ago. It was a lot of fun. So thank you for that
as well.
It was. But, you know, let's start off. You know, I just mentioned that you pitched for University of Detroit. And there's a lot of people, and this is no offense to anybody, but there's a lot of people out there who do what you do. There's a lot of people out there who tell people how to begin a business. They tell them, you know, to do this or that, but they never really had their hands in the soil, as Fran Tarkenton, the Hall of Fame quarterback, used to say. You've actually had your hands in the soil. You pitched on a high level, on Division I level baseball. Do you think, in my opinion, yes, but do you think that that you have an advantage over somebody who just studied your field? You actually, as I said, you had the ball in your hands. You had your hands in the soil.
Yeah, I do. I think there's a definite advantage to that. Nothing against people that work hard and study and try to understand people, because we need that. You know, we have a lot of, you know, clinical psychologists out there that help people with really significant issues like depression and anxiety. And not every clinical psychologist has experienced clinical depression and anxiety. But in my world, I think it is important, because I need to have credibility with my athletes that I work with, and for them to know that I walked a mile in their shoes, so to speak, goes a long way, and at least building the bridge to help them get better.
And that kind of leads into my next question. What stories have happened to you that stick out that you've shared with some of your clients to help them?
Well, the story I tell almost everyone, whether it's a new client or if I'm speaking to a large group or a team, is the reason I got into this work is because I needed it. I was a really good high school pitcher. I had what I think I call now the curse of talent, where I was 6 feet tall, left-handed, threw pretty hard, and had a lot of success. And it came pretty easy to me, because at that level in high school, if you threw hard enough and were left-handed, you know, it was easier to get hitters out. But when you get to the Division I level and you play against higher level competition, everybody's as good as you know, and everybody's got those physical tools. And the only thing that separates you is the mental game, is your ability to manage your emotions out there and be prepared and handle the pressure. So I was not good at that as an incoming redshirt freshman at University of Detroit. I got lit up. My freshman year, I went 2-8 as a starting pitcher. I literally, Claudio, set the school record for losses in a single season. And as you know, that's not the record you want next to your name in the record book.
Right.
So throughout that season, I was extremely frustrated. I was talking to my coaches and my upperclassmen, my captains, and, you know, what's going on? You know, why am I not having success out here? I can throw just as hard as these guys, and I've got command of two pitches and working on a third. You know, I should be, you know, winning more. And they're like, man, with you, it's all mental. Now, Claudio, this is 1988. So no one's talking about this, at least out in public, very much. And somebody handed me Harvey Dorfman's book. I'm sure you know it, The Mental Game of Baseball.
Right.
And at first, I didn't want to read it, because that was kind of admitting something was wrong. And there was still that big stigma back then about the mental game and all that thing. And finally, I relented, and I picked it up one weekend. And I started reading it, and everything Harvey was talking about in that book made sense to me. And so I started incorporating some of that towards the end of the season and throughout my summer leagues, and got back to school that fall and fall ball, and really had some good things going with my routines and my self-talk and using visualization and being more prepared and understanding mental traps and things like that. And I started having success, and I earned my spot back in the starting rotation and turned around my season that next year and went 9-3 and set the school record for wins in a single season. And Claudio, the funny part is I didn't change anything physically. I didn't get any stronger. I didn't throw any harder. I didn't add a new pitch. I was just more mentally tough, more mentally skilled. And I think that's the big, you know, competitive advantage that athletes can have if they want to.
You know, when you were saying that, two things popped into my mind. Number one, I want to say it was 90 or 91 when John Smoltz, he was pitching for the Braves, and he had his I don't know if it was a psychologist. I think it was a sports psychologist in the stands, and they made a big deal. They made a big deal about it, and they panned the camera over to him. I mean, now you would know better than I. I'm sure many players have a sports psychologist, but that, like you said, it really wasn't talked about back then.
Right.
As a matter of fact, I don't know if it's the same thing or not, but Jimmy Pearsall, I'm sure you've heard of him. They used to kind of rib him a little bit back years ago whenever he used a psychiatrist, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. But, you know, we all need help. We all have issues. We all have and you hit it on the head as far as the mentality of things. But a fighter that I mentioned on this show, and I'm sure I mentioned on our show together, Vinny Paz, the boxer. Vinny used to drive me absolutely nuts during the fights, doctor, because he would actually hit himself in the head, punch himself in the head. He'd tell the other, like Rocky, right? He'd say, hit me harder. And then one time he hit himself so many damn times, he kind of created a little bit of a cut, right? Then he would hold the ropes, and he would do all these crazy things. And I would holler. In some fights, you could actually hear me. I was close enough to the ref. I said, Vinny, quit doing that. And I'm swearing at him. And then I asked him one time, I said, Vinny, why do you do that? He said, Claudio, if I don't act like a showman, if I don't hit myself, if I don't talk the way I talk and behave the way I talk in the ring, I'm just a regular 5'6" fighter. And that hit me. And you know what? I mean, I'd rather him not hit himself, but I get that. You know, it is a mental thing. And something that I include in my book, a story about one of my players. He was a great kid, always had a smile on the face, just a great player, but he never came out just yet. And I used to tell him, because he didn't seem like he had confidence in himself, but I said, the old Henry Ford line, if you think you can or if you think you can't, you're right. So I'm with you. But what was the one thing that you feel that you needed work on? What was that? Was it what was it that put you over the hump?
I think with me, it's something that's pretty common these days, and coaches talk about it a lot. It's controlling what you can control. And I had such a fear of what everybody else was thinking of me. I was worried about what the other team thought, my coaches, my teammates, really self-conscious about things that I had no control over. I was worried about what the press might write in the paper or what my stats might be, or, you know, if I was going to get the next start and things like that. And in the moment, that's so far removed from what I was doing, but it was blocking my focus and my concentration and literally distracting me from what was important in that present moment, which was just getting the ball over the plate and getting some ground balls and getting the occasional strikeout. And so what I teach my athletes is, from what I learned, is we have to identify what are those mental traps, that I call them now, that are distracting you or triggers for you that create pressure or anxiety or just distractions from that present moment. And once we learn what those triggers are, we own them. We have to accept them, because it's very normal for athletes to have those. I mean, in my experience of doing this work and then being an athlete, I know by talking to these people that everybody's got these things. But what the better athletes do is they accept them, and they notice them a lot quicker than other people do. And then they return their attention to what's important now. We call that the win. What's important now? And what's important now is, what do you need to do? And so then I'll ask my players, and I had to learn this for myself as well, is when you're playing or pitching or performing well, what are you doing out there? And so for me, is like you saw in my pictures on my website, I had to make sure that I got on my back leg. I had good balance position. I drove towards the plate and finished my pitches. And then I got up and I did it again. And when I stayed focused on what I could control and what I needed to do, I had a lot more success. And then guess what? I wasn't focused on all that other crap that was going on around me.
Yeah, I wrote what you wrote, what you just said, when, what's important now. I like that. I'm going to steal that.
I didn't make it up. Yeah, you can steal it from me, but I stole it from somebody else.
Okay. Now, you work with people of all ages, all levels of baseball, all the way to professional. Do you have certain programs for certain ages, or not a one size fits all thing? I'm sure you don't have that, but do you have, again, certain programs for this age or that, or does it depend on what they're going through?
It really does. I mean, you know, people come to me for lots of different reasons. So, you know, some people come because they need to fix something. You know, they got a performance-related issue, maybe performance anxiety or some kind of fear or anxiety that they're dealing with. And then we dive right in and we start working on that. And then obviously it depends on the age, you know. So if I got a young kid who's 13 or 14, that's a pretty good athlete and he has those kind of issues, I got to make sure that I can tailor my vocabulary and the concepts that I'm trying to educate them on to a level that's developmentally appropriate for them. But then if I have a grown person, an adult who's trying to make a living playing his sport, I can be a little different with them. And sometimes at that point, we're not just working on a specific issue. We're trying to build something, because those athletes know, as you and I do, that when you get to that level, like we said earlier, the only separator you have is what's between the ears. So at that point, we're trying to build a mental toolbox and develop those tools and routines that they're going to need to sustain those performances that they have at the highest level possible. So it really does depend, Claudio, on the nature of the situation.
Sure.
And really it just boils down to tailoring the vocabulary and the concepts that I'm trying to teach my athletes.
How can I word this? If you were with a client for several sessions and maybe things aren't resonating with him, and you can just kind of tell, does your cadence change? Do you not go off, because I'm sure you don't, I know you don't use a script, I know that, so that's not the right term, but like you kind of go off and say, hey, look, you know, one of those type things, and just put everything on the table. Do you ever have to do that?
100%. I'll even challenge younger kids on that. And one of the biggest issues that I find, Claudio, is their body language. Because I can tell how engaged a kid is with me, and odds are that's how they look to other coaches too. And so when kids are struggling, or they come in and they're blaming other people for their situation or not getting drafted for this reason or that reason, and I'll say, you know what, I noticed something. Do you sit that way when you're meeting with other coaches? Is that how your voice sounds when you're answering questions to really important people or a general manager that's thinking about drafting you? Because if you're coming across that way, you've got more barriers than you think. And so I get really brutally honest with a lot of my athletes. But honestly, Claudio, you got to build rapport first. So like you said, after several sessions, I might be able to go down that road. But I wouldn't do that right away, obviously, because that's going to really help a person put up their defenses, and you want to make sure that the message is received. And the only way you're going to receive that message is if you've already built a relationship with them.
I did something before we go to a commercial break. I did something a couple of days ago, and it was about 15 players on a thing. And there was this kid. He was lying down while he was I'm doing this talk, and right away, I said to myself, you know, my mom used to always say, how you're dressed is how you're treated. But like you just said, how you conduct yourself, how you behave, your body language, are you sitting the proper way? That's how people are going to treat you. And that's the first, I mean, there was all these players there, but I noticed that one kid. And, you know, if I wasn't too, I didn't say anything because, you know, I'm not his coach. I'm not going to coach the kid. But, and I didn't want to embarrass him, but. You know, you would like to think that maybe somebody saw him in the other room and say, I know if my parents would have seen me do that, I would have heard about it.
It's funny, real quick. I heard Nick Saban give a speech once to a bunch of campers. It's on YouTube. And he always asked his players, what are you selling today?
Yeah.
And what he meant by that is, hey, how you shake my hand, how you look me in the eye, how you carry yourself is what you're selling. And are you selling something good or are you selling something bad?
Right.
And I thought that was a really powerful way to say it.
I like that. Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to take a quick commercial break, Doctor. We're going to hear from our sponsors, Roscoe Hearing and Allergy Care Center, Aspire Pediatric Therapy, Dom's Pizzeria and Sports Bar at 502 Cabot Avenue in Trafford, Pennsylvania. Call Dom at 412-372-3667. And criminal defense attorney Eric Jackson Lurie with offices located in downtown Pittsburgh and Fox Chapel. Call Eric at 412-963-9308. And a couple quick book plugs. A guest of a few weeks ago, Jamita Lewis Davis, has a great book called Laughing Down the Aisle. It is available on Amazon and JamitaLewisDavis.com. And my book, Lead from the Heart Up, Not the Neck Up, How to Create a Winning Positive Culture on the Field and in the Office. I'll say it better next time. It is available now on Amazon and, of course, my website and soon to be some bookstores as well. Keep you posted on that. We'll be right back with Dr. Jason Nevesky.
Dr. Roscoe, I've been talking to my dad, and he seems out of sorts, like he can't understand what I'm saying.
It's not just a hearing problem, Jolie. It is a health problem. Even with a mild hearing loss, our risk of dementia doubles with age. So let's improve Dad's hearing and his health. Let us be the solution to his hearing health care needs, so you and Dad can experience many years of understanding, laughter, and happy memories.
Serving the Dubois area for over 20 years, the Roscoe Hearing Care Center in Dubois, Punxsie, and St. Mary's. The hearing solutions you've been looking for.
Call us for an appointment today, 814-375-0455.
Has your child been diagnosed with an autism spectrum or developmental issue? You're not alone. Aspire Pediatric Therapy has been helping families for over 10 years and has three convenient locations. Through love, laughter, and play, the Aspire team provides occupational speech and feeding therapy using the area's only state-of-the-art sensory motor gyms. Aspire will treat you and your family like family. Don't settle for less. Call 412-474-3566 or check them out on the web at aspirepediatrictherapy.com.
The law offices of Eric Jackson Lurie are available when you need him for all of your defense needs. Maybe it's a DUI, or maybe you found yourself in the wrong place at the wrong time. Whatever the scenario, the law offices of Eric Jackson Lurie are available 7 days a week. With a practice based throughout western Pennsylvania, the law offices of Eric Jackson Lurie are conveniently located in downtown Pittsburgh and Fox Chapel. When you or a loved one needs discreet, experienced legal representation, call Eric Jackson Lurie at 412-963-9308. That's 412-963-9308.
We want to welcome our newest sponsor, Dom's Pizzeria and Sports Bar, 502 Cavett Avenue in Trafford, Pennsylvania. Call 412-372-3667. Don Pecora, great guy, great food. Make sure you tell him we sent you.
Okay, doctor. So how different, I'm a little bit maybe overly critical of today's game, baseball anyway. You know what, I'm going to ask your opinion on something else real quick before I go into this question. What were your thoughts on the move last week in the World Series Game 6 where Kevin Cash takes out Blake Snell, who's dominating the game and giving his team a lift, and whenever he took him out, you could see the Tampa Bay deflate and the Dodgers inflate. Okay,
yeah.
He was pitching well. 70. I mean, that was the game plan ahead of time, which was dumb.
Yeah.
Okay, but what were your thoughts on that?
Well, it's so funny you brought that up. You know, you met my co-host on my podcast, Kyle Vogie, the other night, and we just had this conversation yesterday, literally 24 hours ago. I disagree with it. I think there is a place for analytics, so to speak, in every sport. But as you know, as a coach, there's a rhythm and a flow
to a
game. And you've got to know what that is. Otherwise, you're just a button pusher. You've got to be able to read and feel what's going on out there. And I think that's part of the psychology of being a great coach, is knowing what's going on and the tempo and the kind of the mood of the game. And if you're not following that the Dodger hitters are perplexed with Snell, then you're not doing your job. I'm sorry. I mean, he's got to look at their body language too, because they were frustrated with him out there. They were not getting good swings off him. So, man, you know how it is. You got to ride that horse till you can't.
Exactly. You got to ride the horse till you can't. Now, if you had, I wouldn't have taken him out no matter what. But, you know, if you have a stud ready to pitch behind Snell, I mean, somebody who's just on fire. All right, maybe you can. I mean, I wouldn't do it still, okay? But they didn't. Anderson has not done well lately. So just because the numbers tell you to do this, okay, and like you said, it has a place. Analytics, sure, it has a place, but to live on it, it's ridiculous. And the sad thing is you have some, you know, again, not to be critical, but you have somebody from the higher up, a suit, okay, who went to a big university, who knows how to, you know, calculate all these analytics. He's telling a guy who was a catcher in the majors, who I guarantee you Cash did not want to do that. I would be shocked if he wanted to do that. And, you know, any more, again, I grew up with the Billy Martins, the Dick Williams, the Chuck Tanners, right, Tommy Lasorda, Tony La Russa, who thank God is back. Guys like that, who they had a feel for the game. Okay. The coaches today, number one, I don't know if they have a feel for the game. Number two, they're button pushers. You hit it right on the head. And they're taking their lineups are already made for them when they get to the office a lot of times. They may not admit it, but it's ridiculous. And like you said, they don't know the flow of the game. You stopped the flow of the game. You stopped your team's momentum. It was an unbelievable move, but I couldn't wait to ask you that to see what your thoughts were. But do you agree that it hurt the team mentally?
I do. I mean, from a psychological standpoint, the momentum shifted, and I think there is such a thing as that. I mean, and the confidence changed, because the other pitcher comes in, and he throw, like, two balls in a row, and clearly didn't have command of his fastball right off the get-go.
Wild pitch.
And then your defense is looking around going, what just happened? Like, 2 seconds ago, we were on top of this game. And like, within 30 seconds, the whole mood shifted, and then you could look in the dugout of the Dodgers and, we got a chance, and that's all you need.
And the crazy thing is, last year, I believe it was, Hill, the lefty pitcher for the Dodgers, was doing well, and here comes Roberts after one hit, take him out, and Hill says, no, I'm good. He took him out.
Yeah.
I don't know. But what did Kyle, did Kyle like that, or was he against it? I'm curious.
He was against it as well. We were on the same page.
All right.
Okay. And he brought it up because he thought it was interesting. This might be another, you know, conversation we have is, you know, he brought it up about Tiger Woods. There was something out recently about him heading to the Masters and his approach on analytics and feel. And he talked a lot about how he doesn't want Joey, his caddy, to give him the yardage that includes wind and slope. He just wants the number, and then he'll figure it out from there based on how he feels and what he is feeling.
Now,
I thought that was pretty interesting.
Yeah, that is. Now, how different, if they are at all, are players today that you work with, and how different, if at all, are coaches than they were years ago? Players and coaches, how different are they today than they were years ago, if at all?
I do think they're different, but I don't necessarily want to say one's better or worse. I just think they're different. I think, you know, today's players get a lot of hate, so to speak, you know, the whole entitlement, millennial generation, things like that. And I get it. They are certainly different. But I'm not a participation trophy, you know, kind of guy. I believe we have to earn everything and things like that. But these kids, you have to understand, these kids have grown up in a different society. That's not their fault. They've grown up with things that happen fast. Everything is right now. Everything is at their fingertips. And what that socializes them to understand is that if something doesn't happen quickly in a good way for them, then it's bad. Like, for example, you know, we have Amazon and all these other things that are like next day shipping, or you hit a button, you can find out anything you want. Or if you want to watch a movie, just dial it up on Netflix, right? You don't have to wait or go somewhere and have patience and delayed gratification. Everything is right now. Right. So what that teaches the younger generation is, again, if things don't happen quickly, it's bad. Well, if I'm not good quick, then I must be bad, and therefore I quit. And that's what we see a lot of with kids today, I think, is just not a lot of determination and resilience to see a process through when it's tough. And sometimes parents and coaches sometimes swoop in and try to save the day instead of letting their kids fail. And I think it's important. And I tell parents this all the time. It's okay if they fail. It's okay if they get a bad grade. And it's okay for you to be there, but it's not okay for you to fix it. Let them figure it out. Be there to help them. Be a silent source of support, but let them figure things out, because someday you're not going to be there to swoop in and fix it when their boss gives them a tough report or, you know, embarrasses them in a meeting for something they didn't do well. They're going to have to figure it out. And if they don't figure it out a little bit now when they're young, they're going to get punched in the face when they get older.
I use that phrase all the time, punch in the face. But while you were saying that, excuse me, while you were saying that, I have many pictures in my office here of Roberto Clemente. And his last interview that he gave in Pittsburgh, he told the announcer, the interviewer, Sam Nover, said, Roberto, he said, what do you want for your kids? And his kids, I believe at the time, were like 8 years old. They were very young. And he said, I'll never forget. He said, I want them to suffer. And you know, everybody, and he said, what do you mean by it? He says, well, because if you suffer, you live differently. So people maybe at the time, or at least now, if they hear it, they say, oh my. No, he meant, you know, because life is tough. I tell my daughter that all the time. Life is hell. And it can be great, but there's some hell involved in it and how you handle it. But that's what Roberto meant. You know, he said, because people with money and people who have it easy, when something happens, they fall apart. He said, I want my kids to be tough. And so that's the first thing that popped into my mind when you said that. Go ahead. I'm sorry if you had something to say to that.
No, I just believe in that wholeheartedly. I mean, I was even interviewed at a local TV station here because it was a topic that came up in some Psychology Today article about when is it okay to let your kids quit was the question. And so that was the question that was presented to me for this interview here. And I basically said, never. I mean, if they decide that they're going to play a sport or join a team that you paid for or that they've committed to, I don't care, unless there's some kind of, you know, unforeseen circumstances, like, you know, the coach is abusive or something crazy like that.
Right.
But they should see it through. Just because they're struggling and it's not, quote, fun anymore, they still should see it through to finish it, because that's what builds character.
Hopefully my wife and daughter won't listen to this show, but my daughter absolutely loves color guard. She's in the color guard and she absolutely is very passionate about it. So in high school, she did fantastic and she became captain, and she just, I think 2 years in a row, she was captain, and she cried when she was named captain. And so did we were so happy for her. Then she wanted to go to University of Pittsburgh and she wanted to be on the color guard. So, and my wife is the best mom. I had the best mom in the world, and my daughter has the best mom. I mean, I couldn't ask for a better wife or a mom. But I noticed after graduation that my daughter didn't pick up the flag one time. She wasn't getting ready. She wasn't getting it. Nothing. So I said, when's tryouts? And she said, mid-July. I said, okay. How many times have you practiced? She says, none. She looked down the ground. She said, none. I said, you know, there's somebody out there in Texas or Rhode Island or Cleveland or wherever who is going to be at that tryout. And right now they're practicing. And you're sitting on the porch, you're texting people. I said, there's no way in hell you're going to make that team. And my wife, you know, her eyes got real big. So I said, no, she's not going to make the team. And then she's going to come home sad. I'm not going to console her, because she asked for it. She did not practice. And I remember Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, used to say, he used to take 150 shots, then he would quit. And he said, wait a minute, there's somebody out there taking 200. And it was Larry Bird. Larry Bird used to say, he'd shoot 150, he'd quit. Wait a minute, there's somebody out there taking 200. It was Magic. So then after that little talk, my daughter started practicing again and the whole nine yards, and she ended up making the team, and she has done very well, and she's extremely passionate about it. But I think that as a parent, you know, you look, like I said on our show, I think when I was on your show, my parents absolutely adored me. doctor, absolutely adored me. Mm-hmm. But if I went off that rail a little bit, I heard about it, you know, and I'm glad that they did that to me. And it wasn't, you know, people say, oh, they want you, you can't be best friends. My parents and I were best of friends. My daughter and I are best friends, but sometimes you have to do what you got to do. Be upset.
Yeah,
or
you
got to
lay down the law.
Lay down the law. Right.
And I think what you did for your daughter was awesome, because you gave her the wake up call that she needed.
Yeah.
And I would have said, you know, that was enough, because you gave her the wake up call. She got the message.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I would stop after that. Like,
no question.
You know, I see that in a lot of kids, you know, and I've seen that in my own family as well, where, you know, somebody wants to do something, they have a goal, and I'll say, well, what are you going to do about it? It's great to have a goal, but you got to take action. And right. So, you know, do you have the opportunities? Do you have what you need? Do you have the resources to make that goal happen? That's, as a parent, that's your job. Provide them with the opportunities and the resources to do what they need to do. But if they don't, you know, for a lack of a better cliche, pick up the ball and run with it, then nothing's going to happen. And after they don't pick up that ball, all right, well, then the resources are going to be dried up, because I already gave you the opportunity, and that's that. So if you don't really want to do it, show me.
That's right. Well, Herm Edwards, the Arizona State football coach now,
yep.
He said, a goal without a plan and action is just a wish. Just a wish. That's right. There you go.
That's right.
All right. Well, we're going to take another quick commercial break to hear from our sponsors, Roscoe Hearing and Allergy Care Center, Aspire Pediatric Therapy, Dom's Pizzeria and Sports Bar at 502 Cavett Avenue in Trafford, Pennsylvania. Call Dom at 412-372-3667, and criminal defense attorney Eric Jackson Laurie, with offices located in downtown Pittsburgh and Fox Chapel. Call Eric at 412-963-9308. Book plug time, Jamita Lewis Davis. She is an author of the new book, Laughing Down the Aisle. You can get that book on Amazon and JamitaLewisDavis.com. And, of course, my book, Lead from the Heart Up, Not the Neck Up, How to Create a Positive Winning Culture on the Field and in the Office. You can get it on Amazon, and you can get it on my website as well, and soon to be in some bookstores. We will be right back with left-handed pitcher Dr. Jason Nevesky.
Dr. Roscoe, I've been talking to my dad, and he seems out of sorts, like he can't understand what I'm saying.
It's not just a hearing problem, Jolie. It is a health problem. Even with a mild hearing loss, our risk of dementia doubles with age. So let's improve Dad's hearing and his health. Let us be the solution to his hearing health care needs, so you and Dad can experience many years of understanding, laughter, and happy memories.
Serving the Dubois area for over 20 years, the Roscoe Hearing Care Center in Dubois, Punxsie, and St. Mary's. The hearing solutions you've been looking for.
Call us for an appointment today, 814-375-0455.
Has your child been diagnosed with an autism spectrum or developmental issue? You're not alone. Aspire Pediatric Therapy has been helping families for over 10 years and has three convenient locations. Through love, laughter, and play, the Aspire team provides occupational speech and feeding therapy using the area's only state-of-the-art sensory motor gyms. Aspire will treat you and your family like family. Don't settle for less. Call 412-474-3566 or check them out on the web at aspirepediatrictherapy.com.
The law offices of Eric Jackson Laurie are available when you need him for all of your defense needs. Maybe it's a DUI, or maybe you found yourself in the wrong place at the wrong time. Whatever the scenario, the law offices of Eric Jackson Laurie are available 7 days a week. With a practice based throughout western Pennsylvania, the law offices of Eric Jackson Laurie are conveniently located in downtown Pittsburgh and Fox Chapel. When you or a loved one needs discreet, experienced legal representation, call Eric Jackson Laurie at 412-963-9308. That's 412-963-9308.
We want to welcome our newest sponsor, Dom's Pizzeria and Sports Bar, 502 Cavett Avenue in Trafford, Pennsylvania. Call 412-372-3667. Don Pecora, great guy, great food. Make sure you tell him we sent you.
Okay, doctor. Now, you work obviously with, I'm assuming, I should say obviously, but many sports, not just one particular sport, correct?
Yes, correct. I work with all different sports, men and women, boys and girls, all different sports. I had some really interesting ones throughout the years as well.
Well, go ahead, lead with that. What kind of
interesting? Okay, yeah, I thought you might pick up on that. But
yeah.
I had a client a couple years ago that actually did and you've probably seen this stuff on TV, where they lead their dogs through the obstacle courses.
Sure.
Yeah. So she came in, and she was a very nice woman. I think she was like a semi-retired attorney, and her hobby and her sport was this dog obstacle course thing. And she came in, and she says, look, I know how to train my dogs. I know how to run these systems and things like that, but my nerves and anxiety transfer to the dog, and when they feel me being nervous, they false start. And apparently in that particular sport, if you false start twice, it's over. And so I really had to work with her on developing a much more calmer demeanor as they were leading up to the event, and her tone of voice and her body language, so the dog could feel more relaxed and calm. And that was pretty interesting way to apply my skill set.
You know what? Since you mentioned that, two boxers that are very good friends of mine. One of them is Vinny Paz. I mentioned him, how, you know, before a fight, he would drink 3 cups of cappuccino. Okay. And he was just wired, ready to go. And he was just, you know, warming up fast. Everything was fast. And the other guy is Donnie Lalonde, former light heavyweight champ, WBC light heavyweight champ. And he was very calm. Rocky Marciano used to fall asleep before his matches. He would just fall asleep. Now, would you let people be who they are? Or if you see that it doesn't work, you would try to change it. What would you do if they came to you and said, hey, I'm always relaxed, but I'm losing. Or I go in there half-cocked and I'm wound up, but I'm always losing. What would you do with that? Would tell them to be opposite? What would you do?
Well, I think first, obviously, you got to get to know the athlete, and everybody hunts differently. So everybody's going to be prepared and come into their performance of their sport in a different way. So we got to find what we commonly call in the field of sports psychology is the optimal level of arousal. And so some people do need to be amped up to perform their best, and some people need to be a little bit less or far less to perform their best. So, you know, in a situation like that where things aren't going well, then we would try different things. It would be a little trial and error. And I'd say, okay, well, it's 2 aroused isn't working. Let's try to back that up a little bit and find that sweet spot that's going to help us perform and focus at our best. So, you know, for somebody who's amped up, we might try some kind of pregame or pre-match routine that might involve some deep breathing, some relaxation or visualization techniques to kind of get them into that right frame of mind. But for somebody that's too low key that needs to be amped up, we might do something different where we do some active type of movements and stretching and break a sweat and things like that before we go out and perform, so they got the blood flowing in a certain way.
Now, again, you work with different sports. Is there one sport is there one athlete that participates in that respective sport that is tougher than another? For example, like, is a hockey player harder to deal with than a baseball player, or more sensitive? Do you find a trend that one's maybe a little, not tougher to deal with, but maybe a little tougher to deal with? Maybe one's more sensitive, or is it just up to the individual?
For the most part, it's up to the individual. I don't want to stereotype any sport, but I would say that sports that demand machoism are tougher, because football players that I deal with are sometimes the most hard-headed athletes to try to get through, because they've been groomed not to look introspectively and consider their feelings or their emotions or pressures and confidence and things like that. They play on raw emotion sometimes, you know, typically not the quarterbacks, because those are typically the more thinking type guys, but man, those guys in the trenches and other jobs, that they just have to be rough and tough all the time. So those guys tend to be a little bit more difficult to deal with, but I'd say it's to each his own.
Something that, like with me, I always look at myself as just some kid here from just outside of Pittsburgh, right? But then whenever I have to, you know, I see myself differently as a coach, as a father, as whatever. I think I have a dial in me that I click, and whatever I have to be, I be. And I tell you where I started thinking that. John Bon Jovi, one time he said he was on stage. Before he went on stage in front of everybody, he peeked out. And Billy Joel said the exact same thing, that they peeked out and they saw all of these thousands of people chanting their name, chanting their name. And Billy Joel said, I'm just some kid from, I think, from Brooklyn. And Bon Jovi said, I'm just some kid from New Jersey. You know, geez, that's it. But then when that curtain opened, they had to be like, his name is Bon Jovi. It's like Bon Jovi. But he said, when I go on that stage, it's Bon Jovi, yeah. You know, and you have to kind of turn it up a little bit, that dial. What do you think of those statements?
I think it's spot on, because we talk a lot about with my athletes and teams about having an image or a self identity. And the bottom line, coach, is you are going to behave and perform based on who you believe you are or what your brand is, so to speak. And so big conversations in my office are often about, hey, who are you as an athlete? Like, when you go out there to perform, who are you? What do you want people to say about you? What kind of brand are you selling out there? And once we come down to, hey, I'm a powerful, huge, dominant pitcher, you know, we come up with all kinds of colorful words and we create what we call an identity statement, and that's something that they have to memorize and recite often before they go out and perform. Once they understand that and incorporate it into their mindset, then you have to behave according to that expectation, because there's always something in us that wants to be right. And if we say we are something, then we want to back it up with our behavior. And that can work in the opposite ways too. I don't know if you remember a pitcher that was in Detroit for a long time ago called, his name was Jeremy Bonderman.
Oh, sure. Sure.
Yeah. Great pitcher. I never really got to meet him personally, but I saw him in some clinics and things like that. And I heard him interviewed once, and I heard him interviewed many times after that. And he said some of the same things, that he's a slow starter, that he just needs to get through that first inning and he'll be fine. And what that meant to me then and now is he identified himself as a slow starter. It's just like a kid in school saying they're not good at math, and they say that repeatedly. And the more you say things like that, you become them, because what we say to ourselves is important, because we're listening. And the more repetitions that you have with that type of identity, it's going to stick. And so Jeremy Bonderman was a slow starter, because I think he believed that's who he was. So therefore his behavior backed it up. And some people might call that like self-fulfilling prophecy. I really look at that as your identity.
I like what you said, what you say to yourself, you're listening. I like that.
Yeah.
Well, So I guess it kind of leads in what I'm going to ask you now. And what's the difference between confidence and fooling yourself?
So you're kind of looking at confidence and cockiness then, I think. I think confidence is a true self-belief in your own abilities, that you can accomplish the task that's in front of you at the present moment. Because confidence comes and goes depending on the situation that you're in. Because you can be really confident, you know, speaking to a large group of people because you've done it a lot. You got past success and you feel really comfortable doing it because you've had some practice. But you might not be so confident in a boardroom full of investors asking you questions about your business. And that's just based on experience. It's based on the kind of pictures that we see in our head of ourselves. It's based on our self-talk that we use. And so that confidence can be managed. And then on the other hand is false confidence or cockiness. And I think we see that a lot in athletes sometimes, where they're trying to hide their inadequacies by faking it. Which can also get us into a whole nother topic of faking it till you make it and all that kind of stuff as well. Okay. But I think cockiness is different than confidence.
Okay. And what is more common? These phrases, I can't do it, I'm not good enough to do it, or I'm afraid to fail.
Which is more common? I don't know which is more common, but that last one you said, I'm afraid to fail, comes up a lot. So I guess that would be the most common that I hear. That something that goes along with that as well is afraid of letting people down, afraid of letting my parents or my family or my coaches down. And the topic of failure is very interesting. And I don't know if I mentioned this to you before at another time, but I've kind of subscribed to the Kobe Bryant version of failure, which he basically said, failure doesn't exist. Failure is only when you give up or you quit. And I totally believe that, because he basically said, you didn't fail, you just learned a way that it's not going to work. So let's learn from that and move on. You either win or you learn.
Right. Isn't that what Einstein said? I believe it was Einstein who said, I didn't learn. Well, he failed like 10,000 times. He said, no, I just found out there was 10,000 times that that wasn't how it was supposed to be or was supposed to work.
I think that was Thomas Edison.
Edison, not Einstein.
Yeah.
Edison.
Yeah.
That's right. Right. I was close. Started with an E.
Yeah, close. That's right.
You know, I always talk about, again, my parents, how they motivated me because I wanted to make them proud of me. They work so hard for me to give me the opportunity to make my dreams come true. But people kind of get taken, I don't want to say taken aback, but a little surprised whenever I say, as important as my parents were to motivating me, there was a few people in my life that were always against me and always putting me down. And they were family members, people that I cared for. And I wanted to show them. I wanted to shut them up. And you know, sometimes your worst enemy can be your best ally. And they were just as important to me as my parents.
Right.
And this one guy said to me, well, that's a negative way to look at it. And I don't think it is. What do you think? To me, it motivated me. What do you think?
Yeah, I think I call that going to the dark side. I feel like we got to have those things that have happened in our life that we can go to that well every now and then. It's not something we need to go to every day. But I think it is important to kind of remember those people or those situations that slighted us in some way or didn't give us the respect that we thought we deserved and use that to our advantage, because motivation is hard. You know, there's a lot of people that say motivation's crap. You got to motivate yourself. You can't rely on other people to motivate you. But every now and then there might be something that you need. And what comes to mind as I'm saying that is if you watch The Last Dance with, you know, the whole Michael Jordan and the Bulls thing.
Sure.
He talked about that a lot. He talked about how sometimes he even made it up, but he made up a situation in his head where a coach slighted him or didn't ask him for dinner or come over and say hi or something like that.
Right.
And he said, I'm going to use that the next time we play them, because, you know, when you win so much, you got to find other ways to motivate yourself.
Right. Now, what motivates you? What gets you going? Because, you know, you're always trying to motivate or help somebody else, but what gets you going?
What motivates me is helping my clients achieve the things that they want to achieve and that they couldn't do it by themselves, you know, helping them win what I call their personal championships. And, you know, I have a great example of that today. In this past week, I've worked with this golfer here in Michigan for a couple of years now, and she is just an amazing kid, tough competitor, great, so coachable, listens well. And she just won her third high school state championship in golf. And all the pressure was on her because everybody was coming after her because she was already winning it. She already won it twice. And so to see her come from behind in this last tournament and make a birdie on the last hole to force a playoff and then win the playoff and just see the exuberance in her face and all the emotion, that's what motivates me to keep learning more about how I can be a better sport and performance psychology coach.
That's nice. And tell us about, now you have a podcast. I mentioned the podcast, it was my honor to be on. Thank you for having me on.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about that, how long you've done it. What are some of the guests that you've had on? What was the purpose of it?
Yeah. So, you know, out of COVID, some good things come, I guess. So, you know, I've been thinking about doing it for a couple of years. And then during the quarantine here in Michigan, I had opportunity to get outside and play some golf, and I bumped into some guys that do some media around town that are on some local radio stations, sports stations, and they were branching off and getting into their own digital media business. And I mentioned the idea that I wanted to do a podcast. And my point was I wanted to interview young rising athletes. So we call the podcast Rising Champions, and we each week we have on either a player or a young player in different sports, or a coach like you, or just somebody in the field that is on their way up or has helped people get their way up. And so we interview somebody for, you know, 20, 30 minutes each time. And then we do a little monologue beforehand and kind of set the interview up. And it really gives an opportunity for these young athletes to express themselves and talk to others about the importance of the mental game. And that's the main theme of the podcast, is interviewing these young athletes and their use of sports psychology, mental skills coaching to help them achieve their personal championships.
That's great. No, it's a great podcast, and you guys do a great job. And again, I appreciate you guys having me on. Now, I can't read my own writing here because it was a hell of a question because you were saying something. That's all right. You know what? We're going to, if it hits me, I will, I do have to improve my handwriting. But we're going to take another quick commercial break and we'll go to our Eric Jackson Lurie final word when we come back with Dr. Jason Nowetzki.
Dr. Roscoe, I've been talking to my dad and he seems out of sorts, like he can't understand what I'm saying.
It's not just a hearing problem, Jolie. It is a health problem. Even with a mild hearing loss, our risk of dementia doubles with age. So let's improve Dad's hearing and his health. Let us be the solution to his hearing health care needs so you and Dad can experience many years of understanding, laughter, and happy memories.
Serving the Dubois area for over 20 years, the Roscoe Hearing Care Center in Dubois, Punxsie, and St. Mary's. The hearing solutions you've been looking for.
Call us for an appointment today, 814-375-0455.
Has your child been diagnosed with an autism spectrum or developmental issue? You're not alone. Aspire Pediatric Therapy has been helping families for over 10 years and has three convenient locations. Through love, laughter, and play, the Aspire team provides occupational speech and feeding therapy using the area's only state-of-the-art sensory motor gyms. Aspire will treat you and your family like family. Don't settle for less. Call 412-474-3566 or check them out on the web at aspirepediatrictherapy.com.
The law offices of Eric Jackson Lurie are available when you need him for all of your defense needs. Maybe it's a DUI, or maybe you found yourself in the wrong place at the wrong time. Whatever the scenario, the law offices of Eric Jackson Lurie are available 7 days a week. With a practice based throughout western Pennsylvania, the law offices of Eric Jackson Lurie are conveniently located in downtown Pittsburgh and Fox Chapel. When you or a loved one needs discreet, experienced legal representation, call Eric Jackson Lurie at 412-963-9308. That's 412-963-9308.
We want to welcome our newest sponsor, Dom's Pizzeria and Sports Bar, 502 Cavett Avenue in Trafford, Pennsylvania. Call 412-372-3667. Don Pecora, great guy, great food. Make sure you tell him we sent you.
All right, doctor, it just hit me what it was. All right.
Okay.
This has happened to me a few times, and I've seen somebody on TV watching a baseball game who's just not hitting, and I know for an absolute fact that I can help him. Regardless of who he plays for, whatever, I know that he's not being told what I'm going to tell him to fix him up. Have you ever seen an athlete, you know, I guess for the lack of a better term, misbehave or just not – acting properly, or maybe just down in the dumps or not doing well and it's affecting his performance? Did you ever want to get in contact with that player? Have you done that? Have you actually gone through with it? You don't have to mention any names. You don't have to mention
any
names.
No, I won't, but I've definitely seen it, and I have not. So I have not reached out to them. I don't know if that's our place, you know, in this profession to do that and kind of solicit people, but if I had the opportunity and I knew somebody, you know, close to that person, I might want to nudge them in that direction, but no. But I know what you're talking about. Like, you know, when you and I and other coaches and people in my profession have been doing this a lot of time, you know, the sports world is like a laboratory, you know.
Yeah.
So when I'm watching sports, you know, it's like I'm going to work, and I love it. I love watching little psychological, you know, cues and body language and how people respond to adversity, or watching, you know, hitters in baseball get prepared in the box, or what pitchers do between pitches. I mean, I'm fascinated by those routines, and I can notice slight changes in those routines, especially at golfers. I'm watching golf on TV all the time, and I'm looking for their change and their pace and their walk and how they're talking and how they respond. I mean, I can tell you and predict almost if somebody's going to play well or not just based on their body language.
Right. Well, you know, you mentioned body language. I always tell my players, I don't want for a fan, family member, or a friend to come to our games in the middle of the game and know whether we're winning or losing by our body language. Mm-hmm. Just go out and play hard all the time. Turn it up and play it hard all the time. So I agree with you. But we have something here called the Eric Jackson Lurie final word. Eric Jackson Lurie, criminal defense attorney. Call Eric Well, he has offices located in downtown Pittsburgh and Fox Chapel. Call Eric at 412-963-9308. Okay, doctor, who is your favorite athlete of all time?
Oh, my goodness. Man, the first one that comes to mind is Muhammad Ali.
A lot of guys have said that.
Is that right? Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of guys have said that, yeah.
Yeah, well, I'm going to jump on that bandwagon. I mean, he is definitely one of my favorites just for so many reasons. I mean, just not just being a great athlete, but just what things he stood for and his self-belief and, you know, the way he talked about himself, you know, speaking of identity. I mean, he created that own identity for himself and look how far, you know, he changed the world. I mean, he had, I look for athletes, you know, when you say great athlete, I don't want just a guy that performed, but I want a guy that made an impact. And he certainly made an impact.
It's funny you say that because I'm that way. My favorite athletes, they have to be good people first. And then, right, like you said, impact. So I like that. Favorite book?
Whoa. Wow. There's so many. I don't even know where to begin. You know what? I'm going to go way, way back. And it's not even a sports book, but it's Think and Grow Rich.
Oh, yeah, sure, of course. Napoleon.
Yeah, Napoleon. Yeah.
I thought you were going to say lead from the heart up, not the neck up, my boy. But that's okay. That's all
right. That's right. It's a slight second.
A slight second. There you go. What was your favorite sports moment that you were a part of?
Oh, that's easy. When I was a senior going into college my next year, my American Legion team won our state championship. And we overcame the adversary from the year before. It was kind of like the Pistons in Detroit here finally breaking through. You know, we kept getting beat by a certain team, and we got to that championship game against that same team, and we won it all. And I was on the mound for the final out. I'll never forget the looks on my teammates' faces as we were jumping up and down on that field celebrating that victory that we worked so hard for. So that's easily my favorite moment in sports.
Real quick. Chuck Daly. You remember Chuck Daly, of course.
Yeah, of course. He had Dapper Don. Great,
yep. And from kind of out my way, Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania, about an hour from me. But he had a fantastic quote, and it was one time they said, Chuck, how in the world are you able to coach such different players like an Isaiah Thomas, Dennis Rodman, you know, Dumars was quiet, John Sally, Bill Laimbeer, you know, how are you able to coach those guys? He said, poor hearing, bad eyesight, and a lousy memory. I'll never forget that. That sticks with me in life, not just coaching. And the final question is favorite sports moment that you saw, not yours, but that you watched or you were in attendance of? Or
I watched on TV, you know, and this is probably cliche as well, but I remember because at the time I was a hockey player, so it had to be the Miracle on Ice. Okay. I was a little guy. I think I was 10 years old when that happened in 1980. And man, I was, you know, we were into hockey then and things in the country were going crazy. And man, when I saw those guys overcome that was just amazing.
That was a great moment for sure. Well, doctor, I really, really appreciate you being on the show, taking time out. I hope you enjoyed it as much as we did. And
for sure.
Thank you. Oh, last thing. Tell everybody again how to get to your website and your podcast and all that.
Sure. Yeah. The name of the business is Champion Mindset Group in Birmingham, Michigan. The website is www.champmindset.com. And all my information is right there. There's even a link to the podcast on the website. Or you can search on Apple, Spotify, and all the podcast providers. Rising Champions is the name of the podcast.
All right. Well, thank you again for being on the show. I really appreciate it, and I'm sure we'll be in touch.
My pleasure.
Thank you. Okay, everyone, I hope you enjoyed that. I certainly did. He gave a lot of great insight on things, so great interview, and I'm glad he came on. As always, I want to thank our sponsors, Roscoe Hearing and Allergy Care Center, Aspire Pediatric Therapy, Dom's Pizzeria and Sports Bar in Trafford, Pennsylvania. Call Dom at 412-372-3667. Criminal defense attorney Eric Jackson Laurie with offices located in downtown Pittsburgh and Fox Chapel. Call Eric at 412-963-9308. And book plugs, Jamita Lewis Davis. She's an author of a new book called Laughing Down the Aisle. JamitaLewisDavis.com. That's where you can get that book, or Amazon. And of course, my book, lead from the heart up, not the neck up, how to create a positive winning culture on the field and in the office. And then I think in a couple weeks, we're going to have Super Bowl champion coach, one of my favorite people. He was on my wish list. Great guy. Unbelievable guy, unbelievable coach, Dick Vermeil. He coached the St. Louis Rams to a Super Bowl, I believe it was 34, and can't wait to have him on the show. And as always, want to thank Rick Mitchell and Adam Zaluth, my great producer, and my mom and dad. Thank you, Mom and Pop, and I'll talk to you guys soon.
Thank you for listening to the Claudio Rossano Show, brought to you by Aspire Pediatric Therapy and Roscoe Hearing and Allergy Care Center. Be sure to tune in next time on ClaudioRossano.com.
I've been talking to my dad, and he seems out of sorts, like he can't understand what I'm saying.
It's not just a hearing problem, Jolie. It is a health problem. Even with a mild hearing loss, our risk of dementia doubles with age. So let's improve Dad's hearing and his health. Let us be the solution to his hearing health care needs, so you and Dad can experience many years of understanding, laughter, and happy memories.
Serving the Dubois area for over 20 years, the Roscoe Hearing Care Center in Dubois, Punxsie, and St. Mary's. The hearing solutions you've been looking for.
Call us for an appointment today, 814-375-0455.
Has your child been diagnosed with an autism spectrum or developmental issue? You're not alone. Aspire Pediatric Therapy has been helping families for over 10 years and has three convenient locations. Through love, laughter, and play, the Aspire team provides occupational speech and feeding therapy using the area's only state-of-the-art sensory motor gyms. Aspire will treat you and your family like family. Don't settle for less. Call 412-474-3566 or check them out on the web at aspirepediatrictherapy.com.
The law offices of Eric Jackson Lurie are available when you need it for all of your defense needs. Maybe it's a DUI, or maybe you found yourself in the wrong place at the wrong time. Whatever the scenario, the law offices of Eric Jackson Lurie are available 7 days a week. With a practice based throughout western Pennsylvania, the law offices of Eric Jackson Lurie are conveniently located in downtown Pittsburgh and Fox Chapel. When you or a loved one needs discreet, experienced legal representation, call Eric Jackson Lurie at 412-963-9308. That's 412-963-9308.
We want to welcome our newest sponsor, Dom's Pizzeria and Sports Bar, 502 Cavett Avenue in Trafford, Pennsylvania. Call 412-372-3667. Don Pecora, great guy, great food. Make sure you tell him we sent you.